Last week, we began looking at Hebrews chapter 11, and we began talking about the hall of faith. We're going to look at chapter 11 again today, and in chapter 11 of Hebrews, there are a lot of examples of people who lived by faith. Last week, we focused on the biblical definition of faith and what faith is built upon, and it's built upon the evidence and the assurance of what God has already done. And we stand on what God has done, who he is, and who he will always be. This week, we're going to start looking at the individuals listed in Hebrews chapter 11, and we're going to see what we can learn from their examples of faith. And the very first name that is mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11 is Abel. Which is interesting because, number one, Abel and his brother Cain were the first mentioned by brothers in the Bible. They were the first mentioned to bring offerings in the Bible. And they're the first ones part of the very first recorded murder in the Bible. Now, there's not a whole lot said about Abel in the Bible, so it's really interesting that the author of Hebrews would include Abel as part of the hall of faith and the heroes of faith. So we're just going to check that out, and we're going to start with Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4. By faith, Abel brought God a better offering than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as righteous when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, Abel still speaks, even though he is dead. So what is it about Abel's faith that qualified him for the hall of faith? And that's what we're going to check out today. So let's just start with reviewing the story of Abel and Cain. So we're going to read through this quickly. Abraham made love to his wife Eve, and she became pregnant and gave birth to Cain. She said, "With the help of the Lord, I have brought forth a man." Later, she gave birth to his brother Abel. Notice how they make a big deal about Cain. She's all excited. Cain is born, right? Your first child, you're always so excited. And then when the second one comes, you're like, "Oh, I hope you were not like the first," right? Now, Abel kept flocks, and Cain worked the soil. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil and as an offering to the Lord. And Abel also brought an offering, fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering, he did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry, and his face was downcast. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, then sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you. But you must rule over it." Now Cain said to his brother Abel, and this is part of the story that I'm sure we're all familiar with. Cain said to his brother Abel, "Come on, let's go out to the field." While they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Where is your brother?"
"I don't know."
You ever ask a teenager a question, right? "How's your day?"
"I don't know."
"Hey, what'd you do today?"
"I don't know."
Where's your backpack?"
"I don't know."
Right? "Am I my brother's keeper?" The Lord said, "What have you done? Listen, your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. Now you are under a curse and driven from the ground, which opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood." And then we see the rest of the curse there. So two brothers in Scripture. Cain and his older brother. Cain was the older brother, and Abel was the younger. How many of you have siblings? How many of you have ever had sibling rivalry? All right? I grew up with two brothers. I was the youngest. We shared one bedroom. And it wasn't a big bedroom. I did notice that when I was the last one to move out. My one brother still lives with my parents. They made the room bigger for him when he was living all by himself. Like, you think they would have done that when three of us were living in there? So with three brothers, three boys sharing a small bedroom, can you imagine the conflict that would arise? Yeah. Yeah. Let me say, there was a lot of punching, slapping, pushing, hitting. Being in each other's space, waking each other up. Whose mess was whose? When it was time to clean up the room, there was lots of fights about whose job it was. And it was a challenge. In this account, there is some sibling rivalry going on between Cain and Abel. The Israelite readers would have had expectations that Cain, as being the older brother, the oldest, the firstborn, would have had the more pleasing offering brought to God. Yet it's the younger brother's offering that God is pleased with. And sibling rivalry rises up. And Cain is jealous. And that jealousy bubbles over. Now, this is not Cain's story today. We're talking about Abel. And because of Abel's sacrifice that was pleasing to God, it cost him something. It cost him his life. Now, I have never been in such a fight with my brothers that I have worried about them killing me. I have been tempted at times to kill him or one of them. Can you relate? Come on, be honest. And what's interesting is in the midst of this, God says to Cain, if you would do what's right and keep your eyes on me, wouldn't I be pleased? So that gives us some insight into Abel. Let's consider the offerings. Cain was a farmer, and as such, what did he bring? He brought the fruit of the ground, the fruit of his toil. He brought grains and fruit and crops. Abel was a shepherd, and so what'd he bring? The fat, right? Right? I'm ready to offer my sacrifice. Right? The firstborn of the flock he brought. And this is kind of all we're told about the nature of their two offerings. One was a grain offering. One was the fat offering. There's a common belief that the issue here with the offering was that Abel brought animal and blood sacrifice. But the laws concerning sacrifices weren't given yet. The instructions about animal sacrifices weren't given until much later when the Israelites leave Egypt and are in the wilderness. They aren't required in Scripture until Exodus 29. And when we do read through when the law is given, grain offering was acceptable offerings to make to God. Maybe not for the forgiveness of sin, but it was still pleasing to God. Both type of offerings were accepted. So there's nothing wrong with the actual offerings they brought. So now we got to look at what does the Bible, a couple of places where the Bible talks about what the issue was. All right, I already said this. He brought the soil, fruit of the soil, fat portions. Listen to what God says to Cain. Why are you angry and why are you face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? Isn't there kind of an innuendo there that in Cain in bringing his offering was not doing what was right? And then what does it say? Sin is crouching at your door. It appears that Abel had the better offering because he brought the best of what he had, while Cain simply, his heart wasn't in it. God points out something about Cain's heart that I think is really important. Cain's heart was entertaining sin. Cain's heart was filled with sinful desires. He offered sacrifices, but his intentions were wrong. Had he simply addressed his heart motivations and done what was right, God would have been pleased. Abel offered his offering in faith. Abel offered his offering to God, and it was a conscious choice that Abel chose the best that he had, the firstborn animals, and he brought that before God. In faith, Abel considered pleasing God to be more important than trying to reserve something for himself. Have you ever known somebody who talked about loving God, trusting God, but when the heat was on, you saw where their real trust was, which was in their own ability? All right, I'll be honest. Sometimes that is me. I will say, man, I love God with all my heart. I trust him. And then when the heat comes on, I'm like, what do I got to do? Right? What do I need to do to fix this? What do I need to do to make this right? I can't do it on my own. How am I going to do this? And my mind starts spiraling out. You know why? Because in that moment, my faith is not that God's going to handle it. My faith is that I got to handle it. Cain's attitude by bringing the best of what he had to God was faith that if he gave the best to God, God would take care of the rest of his needs. Cain just brought some of his stuff to God. And his heart wasn't fully into bringing God his best. The issue that made Abel one of the heroes of the faith is that he brought his best to God. His faith. Now, we've been talking about the book of James. And in the book of James, you constantly see that faith is paired with what? Works and action, right? Here, Abel is taking his faith in God, and he's putting it into action by giving God the best that he had and not holding back. I want to give you a kind of a bit of a similar thing. See if you can follow my train of thought here. In 1 Samuel, we see an issue considering offerings. 1 Samuel chapter 15, God told Saul to destroy the Amalekites. Saul wasn't to spare anything, including cattle and herds. However, Saul and his men ended up keeping cattle for themselves, basically thinking they could get away with it. And God speaks to the prophet Samuel. And he tells the prophet that he regrets placing Saul as king. So Samuel goes to confront Saul about his sin of keeping some of the cattle instead of destroying them all. And Samuel kind of plays dumb at first. I love Samuel and how he approaches this. He meets with Saul early in the morning and Saul says to him, "Hey, we've done everything God has asked for." Then Samuel says to Saul, "What's that sound I hear? Do you hear sheep? I hear sheep. Do you hear sheep? Why would I hear sheep? I thought they were all destroyed." And Saul makes up this whole lie about how his soldiers wanted to sacrifice, and so they kept some of the best for themselves so they could offer sacrifices. They weren't. They totally were not keeping it for themselves. Samuel, at this point, is furious with Saul's lies. And he calls out their lies, and he asks, "Saul, why didn't you obey God?" And Saul says, "But I did obey. I destroyed everything, just except for this one little piece. And honestly, I'm going to sacrifice it to God." And listen to what Samuel says. This goes to the heart of the issue. But Samuel replied, "Does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as in obeying the Lord?" To obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed is better than the fat of rams. Here's the difference between Abel and Cain. Cain might have brought the sacrifice, the offering, and made the offering, but Cain's heart wasn't in it. Abel's heart was that me obeying God and bringing him my best is more important to me than keeping the good sheep for myself. To obey is better than sacrifice. Samuel says to Saul, God would have been pleased had you done what he said, but the offering you're bringing is just, your heart's not in it. Saul tried to pull one over on God so that he could increase his wealth and his power. He trusted that if he had the sheep, he would have more wealth, more power, more things to feel secure about. But God said the sacrifice, or obedience, would have been better. This is the same we see with Cain and Abel. Abel brought the best he had in faith, knowing that God could meet his needs and he didn't need to hold some back. And that is my overall point today about Abel. He is a hero in the book of faith, because he brought his best to God, he acted in obedience, and he didn't hold anything back. God was more important than just making an offering. He was more important than tradition. He was more important than routine. He was more important than Abel having a really good calf or a really good lamb that he could save to impress somebody else at a meal. He brought everything he had. God desires the heart more than just empty ceremony and ritual. If we want to be known of people of faith, we have to bring our all. When we reserve part of ourself as a backup plan, then we're not really acting in faith, are we? If you look at Jude, verse 11, woe to them that have taken the way of Cain, they have rushed for profit. See, part of Cain's issue here is that he wanted to keep some for himself, right? He didn't bring the best. He brought whatever because he was interested in profit. He was interested in having his own supply of stuff. We hear different all the time. We just talked about Wednesday, about the man who had the silos, right? And he reaped everything he had and put it in the silo, and the silo wasn't big enough, so he built bigger to keep for himself. But Abel's faith was he was willing to bring it all before God. Jude here is addressing the many sins of ungodly people who pervert grace. And in the middle of his teaching, he says that they taken the way of Cain, i.e. they pursued greed and established their own means instead of offering themselves to God and trusting. Abel didn't hold back. His actions followed his faith, and that pleased God. Let's go back to Hebrews 11:4. Whoop. It says, by faith, Abel brought God a better offering than Cain did. The key here wasn't what the offering was. It was about the faith involved. Many of us here today have had many years living as believers. We know a lot of what the Word says. But in today's modern times, sometimes it's really hard to hold on to faith when we see the condition of our world, isn't it? Financial, our economy is kind of meh, right? We see a world that more and more have turning their back on God. And it's easy to start saying, oh, we're in bad shape. What am I going to do? But we are called like Abel, to bring all that we have by faith and let God sort it out. There's this last line here that I love, and it says, by faith, Abel still speaks even though he is dead. Abel has a legacy. There's only a couple short verses about Abel in the scripture. Just a couple of verses. But they mention his faith. And they mention how he brought his all to God in that time of offering. Through thousands of years, just a small act of faith on Abel's behalf to bring his best. And we're still talking about it today. By faith, Abel still speaks. He has a legacy. How many of us want to leave behind a legacy? That legacy needs to be built upon faith. Obedience to God, bringing him our best. I want to be known as a person that when the time comes and I see God and my family is at my funeral, that what they speak of me is not, oh, he was funny. I don't know if they'll say that or not. He really loved food. Actually, I want to hear people say he loved God and he was a man of faith and he brought his all. I want to be known for having a faith like Abel, where I didn't hold back and reserve anything. So what is the application? After reading through a portion of Scripture and trying to understand it, it's always important that we ask, so what? Now we know that Abel was commended. In faith, he brought his best to God and didn't withhold anything for himself. So what does that have to do with me? Abel acted in faith that God would supply his needs. So he was willing to bring his earthly sources of security and lay it down before God. He didn't withhold his best, and that is our lesson today. Is there something that we are withholding from God because we think we need to hedge our bets? In this case, it was material goods that Cain possibly withheld, or it was material goods that Abel brought, his faith or whatever. But I don't think material goods is the issue of this church. And you know why I say that? Because last month, when we wanted to support Carolyn, I saw an outpouring of money to support her greatly. The final count of beds we bought for her were 18 beds. That means she only needs to get 6 more. The outpouring of the women in this church to bless her was like over $1,000. But what about the other ways that we need to bring our all before God? What about in worship? When we worship God, do we bring him our best? In faith, do we bring him all that we have? Or are we worried about what people think about us? What about in obedience? Do you fear that stepping out in some area that God is leading you because you don't know how it'll turn out? What about in sharing your faith? We have here a community that most of them are in the last years of their life and they need to know Jesus. Can we bring our best to share our faith and step out? We have a lot more heroes of faith that we're going to look at over the next couple of weeks. And each one, we're going to hope to pull something that we can take and apply to our lives. But it begins with this idea that we can't hold anything back. We have to be all in. Bring the best we got, as opposed to just going through the ceremony, going through the ritual. And that's as deep as it goes with us. I want to give an opportunity today, too. I know some of you may be struggling with faith. You may be struggling with areas of your life where God is testing your faith and you need to grow in that faith. The altars are open that we could join with you in prayer concerning those things.